it ministered to me. 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 to 10 says this. Thank you, Lord. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. Short little passage. Now you'll notice here that it says his mother named him Jabez, which in the Hebrew literally means son of pain or son of my sorrow. Thanks, Mom. Thank you very much. In other words, it was a memorial, an everlasting for the rest of his life, memorial to the fact that his coming into the world caused his mother so much pain that she named him Jabez. So that every time his mother called his name, it was a reminder to both of them that he was a source of pain to her. Do you get the import of that? Do you see the gravity of that? All kidding aside, do you realize what she did to her own child? She said, "You are a pain to me. At best, on a good day, you're an inconvenience, but you are a pain to me, so much so that I'm going to name you that so that it's a reminder to you of what you've done to me. You have caused me sorrow. Your very existence is a source of pain to me that I just want to remember every time I speak your name. You are a liability to my life. You are a burden on my assets. You are a distraction from my entertainment and my fun. And you make me work when I want to rest. You are a pain in my life. Your very existence is a memorial to me of how much you caused me to suffer." What do you think that did to that man? Jabez, son of my anguish, son of my sorrow, son of my dysfunction, son of my anxiety, my pain, and my suffering. And we think this is far-fetched. Let me tell you, every day you meet people who are laboring under the names that they have been called by people they love. And their lives are a memorial of dysfunction as they desperately try to medicate that pain and to numb that rejection in some way. That rejection goes deep. Now it also says that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Now that word honorable is very interesting. It's a Hebrew word, kabod. Ooh. It means weighty, of substance, of weight. It's been translated as distinguished. It can be translated as a word to bring honor to oneself. Now, it could be because of the prayer that he prayed and what God did in his life, but I think it's not real clear, and so I want to suggest another possibility. Don't take this as dogmatic, but there's another possibility. If you look at that word as distinguished or one who brings honor to themselves, you know what? When you get wounded like that as a child, it's such a fundamental place in your soul. People who are wounded like that often spend their entire lives fighting against that wound, trying to negate what has been spoken over them. They spend their lives striving and clawing and trying to achieve something that will reverse the image that has been put upon them about who they are. And sometimes you see people who are absolutely addicted to achievement because they're trying to nullify and negate something that is tearing them down badly inside. And they're trying to reverse that curse. They're trying to negate that lie. Now, I don't know if this was happening in Jabez's life, but it's not excluded by the language of the text. And it's a possibility based on the language of the text that Jabez, in trying to overcome this thing that had been put upon him by his mom, may have spent his entire life trying to achieve and distinguish himself in order to try to give himself some self-image that he could live with. It's a possibility. If it didn't happen to him, it happens to multitudes all around us, doesn't it? How many people do you know that are driven to make that name, to make that achievement? And to the world, maybe it looks healthy, but if you could peer inside their souls, you would see that they are desperately trying to cover up a wound that is hemorrhaging them on the inside. And they are bleeding out in their soul, and they're desperately trying to cover that up. Either way, Jabez reaches a point in his life where he cries out to God. I mean, it says he cried out to God. He called on the God of Israel. And in his cry, he says, "Oh God, that you would do what?" Say it again. Bless me. Oh, that you would bless me. The cry of his soul was that God would bless him and enlarge his territory, keep him from evil, that his hand would be with him. Now, we need to understand, if we want to, it seems kind of innocuous at first. I mean, you know, who doesn't want to get blessed? Hey, God, bless me too. While you're blessing him, I'll have what he's having. Give me some of that. I like to be blessed. And that's kind of where Bruce Wilkinson took it, you know, that it wasn't wrong to ask for a blessing. And that's true, and I respect what he said about that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I want to take it a little bit deeper, because when you look at the word, when he says that you would bless me, when you look at it from an Old Testament context and how they understood what it meant to bless someone in the Lord, and even this extends into the New Testament and what we have in Christ, but when you look at it in the Old Testament context, a blessing was not just something good that happened to you. Like you come home and you said, "Hey, I got blessed today. Cool." You know? "Oh, there was no traffic. It only took me a half hour to get home instead of 45 minutes. I got blessed. What a blessing. Saw the boss today and he totally forgot about what I screwed up last week. He said, "Hey, nice job, John. What a blessing. I was blessed today." Went to 7-Eleven, they had those spicy meat things instead of just the regular ones. I love the spicy ones. They're normally all sold out, but there they were. I really got blessed today. Okay, I think it goes deeper than that. When you look at it, especially when you look at the cry of his heart and the fact that Scripture goes out of its way to point out that his mother gave him this name of a reproach. Jabez comes to a place where he calls on the God of Israel and asks him to bless him. What does that mean? Now, in the Old Testament, this is important. Take this with you. Write it down if you have to. In the Old Testament, to bless someone was to utter a prophetic decree over them that imparted good things into their life and shaped their destiny and identity. Let me say that again. We're going to look at this. We're going to unpack this thing. In the Old Testament, to bless someone, among other things that it meant. In the Old Testament, to bless someone was to utter a prophetic decree over them that imparted good things into their life and shaped their destiny and their what? Identity. This is so powerful. I believe that Jabez was crying out for that based on the context, based on his name, based on the reason he was called what he was called. He was crying out for that, for God to issue a declaration over him that would so shape his destiny and his identity that it would ultimately negate the curse that was spoken over him by his mother. Now, I'm going to have to go somewhere to get to this. In order to understand Jabez better, I want to look at how that was demonstrated in the life of another guy whose name starts with J. Can anybody guess who that might be? Thank you. Got some. Who said that? You've got the PowerPoint up there. Jacob. Let's take a look at the life of Jacob, because that's going to set a little bit of light on Jabez. A couple of J guys. Now, what do we know about Jacob? Jacob was born holding on to the heel of his brother. His brother, twin brother Esau came out first, and Jacob came out holding on to his heel. In fact, his name, there's a couple different variations of what his name can mean in the Hebrew. His name in the Hebrew primarily means heel catcher. And it is a wrestling term that they use when they call them that. Sort of like in mixed martial arts, a heel hook is a submission move. You get the guy's leg, you pin his leg with your legs, you grab his heel, and you torque it medially or laterally in order to rip his ligaments and break his leg. How fun. Aren't you glad you came today? Ken Shamrock broke a guy's leg in the very first UFC fight because people weren't even aware that you could do that kind of stuff. A heel hook. That's what Jacob's name is. It means a heel catcher. It's a wrestling term. But it also means supplanter. Someone who is a usurper. Someone who seizes the place of another by force or by treachery. Kind of one of the things that makes you go, A supplanter, a usurper who seizes the place of another by force or by treachery. And you know what? Jacob literally walked that out. He must have embraced that because it characterized his life, especially in his younger years. That's what Jacob was all about. Always trying to manipulate somebody to get their stuff from them. Isn't that right? That's just what Jacob was about. A usurper, a manipulator, a supplanter. He even did that to steal a father's blessing from his brother Esau. Now, his father Isaac was dying. He knew he was dying. Sometimes you can just feel that. You just know it's time. His father Isaac was dying. He wanted to bless Jacob's brother Esau. He wanted to give him a father's blessing. So he sends Esau out. He says, go get some game. Go get a deer or something like that. You know, whatever they ate back then in those places. Bring it home. Cut it up. Fix a meal. Fix me some game. Come in, and after I've eaten, I'm going to bless you. Meanwhile, while Esau is gone, Jacob's mom wants her favorite son to get the blessing. She wants Jacob to get that, so she disguises Jacob as Esau. Esau was a hairy guy. Jacob was a smooth-skinned guy, so she took some goat skins or some lamb skins, put it on his arms, so that he would feel hairy, put his clothes on Jacob, and she made a stew, and she said, all right, now Jacob, you go give this to your father and pretend that you're Esau. And did he fight that? No. He said, okay, Mom. So she sends him into Isaac to receive Esau's blessing. And it says in Genesis 27:26, then his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and he kissed him. And he, Isaac, smelled the smell of his clothing and did what? What did he do? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Oh, my. He smelled the smell of his clothing, and he blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you.